So before we get into this next episode, I'm going to announce the winner of the Sneak Tech Sneak Boot for November. And Ryan Bushby is the winner for the November Sneak Tech Sneak Boot. So Ryan, if you're listening, contact me on Facebook or Instagram and we'll get those out to you. Thanks.
Hey guys, as my 8th season of interviews with the Haunting Masters comes to a close, I want to thank you all for the support that you've given me. And I want to wish you a happy holidays. Keep those reviews coming, those comments coming, helps me keep the podcast free. And the last few episodes of the season, it's dedicated to all the late season archery hunts. All those guys still out there grinding it out through the end of the year and into January. So we're going to be talking a lot about mule deer, coos deer, Arizona, New Mexico, some of the other states that have some of these late season hunts, and hope you enjoy it. We're going to jump into this next episode.
Hi, and welcome to the Interviews with the Hunting Masters podcast. Today we're going to talk a little bit about hunting late season in Colorado with a good friend of mine, Kyle Lopez. Kyle's been on the show before. He owns and operates KB Outdoors outfitting service out in Colorado. What's going on, man?
How much, man? How are you doing?
I'm good. Just getting ready to leave. I don't know if you can see a pile of clothes and camo and everything behind me, but getting ready to leave to guide a youth hunter on elite season rifle bull tag here in Arizona. So I got to get my stuff together here and just get all my ducks in a row and head out. Next couple days, actually heading up not tomorrow but Thursday, so should be fun.
Right on. That sounds like it'll be.
Yeah, it's a good hunt. A lot of elk in this unit, but they give so many tags for this hunt. It's ridiculous. It's like a freaking World War II, you know, combat zone up there. There's people just shooting all over the place and riding around on side by sides and trucks, and everybody's got 15 people helping them out, so it's even worse. It's definitely not what I would call a premium hunt. So
we call it the Arizona Rat Race.
Yeah, exactly. That's for sure. So as you heard in my intro, I kind of have you on today. I want to talk a little bit about some of these late season opportunities that we have in Colorado. Specifically elk, because that's kind of an over-the-counter deal. Well, it is an over-the-counter, not kind of. And I believe there is a little bit from you and I talking before. You said there's a little bit of opportunity to do some over-the-counter archery stuff. But we could also talk, or excuse me, deer over-the-counter deer stuff. But we could also talk about planning for putting in for the draw and stuff like that, that would offer you those opportunities later on too. Just a quick rundown. You don't have to give me specific dates, but what are the late season hunts for mule deer? From when do they start to when, you know, when does it go to?
Yeah, so like archery-wise, Colorado's pretty cool. A lot of the Eastern Plains units, when you pull an archery tag out there, you're able to hunt. You get three different seasons on one tag. So they've got an October season that runs for roughly about 25 days. Then it'll take a little break, and they open up another one in November. And it'll run the same thing, 25 days. And then finally, the last one is they open one in December. I think that one usually opens somewhere around like the 5th, and it'll run until the end of the month. And it may even open earlier than that. I'm not sure 100%, but yeah, so you get the entire month of December to hunt deer as well.
Cool. Now, and on the plains, when do they rut? Is that like late November or mid-November?
You know, that's the craziest thing I've ever seen. It kind of area dependent. If you get up in the northern part, those deer tend to rut anywhere from about, say, the 5th of November to the 20th of November. And then the farther south you go, the closer you'll get to the December time when they rut. And like I've seen the farthest south area, usually those deer tend to rut somewhere around December 1st to the 20th. And down there, they actually have an overlapping archery and a rifle season. They've got a late rifle that comes in from every year from December 1 to December 14th.
Okay.
And
that's cool.
Now, that's the only thing with that late rifle, that's a limited tag. I mean, if a guy was going to, you know, if you've got, say, 10, 12 or more points, you know, that's definitely something to think about to burn your points on, because there's not many rut hunts. I can tell you right now, if you try to get a hunt up here in the mountains, there's no season in the mountains where you can hunt these deer in the rut.
Okay. So it's all on the plains. Yeah. Cause you hear people talk about, people trying to draw a fourth season rifle tag all the time. Because it's kind of a rut. Is that there's none in the mountains?
I mean, some areas.
Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
Nah, the only way you could get a rut season in the mountains is to get on like a ranching for wildlife hunt. But the problem with ranching for wildlife is if you're a non-resident, you can't draw that tag. You have to go directly to the ranch or to the outfitter that has it, and then you'll be ranching for wildlife. And those guys, I mean, they get free reign of everything. They can hunt from August 15th to February 1st. So you can kind of guess when they're going to hunt.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So now, just to back up a little bit, that archery tag you were talking about on the plains, are they unit specific, and is it a draw?
Yes, it is a draw. Usually those are pretty easy to get a hold of. Like, for example, one of the units that I've hunted quite a few times, I think they give out 125 archery tags as opposed to 15 rifle tags every year.
Okay.
And, but yeah, they are draw. They're usually not too hard to draw. And when you get one of those, a lot of times there'll be five or six different units that you can hunt, which helps out, because out on the plains, you know, some areas have public land, some areas don't. And then other areas, you know, have quite a bit of public land. But sometimes the access can be tough. But, you know, it gives you a lot of different options, especially, you know, if you can't get any sort of private land access where you can go across a place or even to hunt a place. It, you know, gives you the option to say, okay, well, cross that unit off, it ain't going to work.
Yeah, yeah. No, that makes sense. Before we jump into elk, I want to talk a little bit about the over-the-counter opportunities. I believe that's all what whitetail hunting, right?
Yes.
Okay. And so what's that season look like? What's that? I mean, give us kind of a little rundown about that. I know that the whitetail hunting in Colorado is kind of iffy because there's really not much public land where whitetail are occupying, but go ahead.
So the whitetail, I hardly ever do any whitetail stuff, so I never remember this. if my memory strikes me right, the whitetail, most of that's run in December. You know, like I know there's a few units out there on the plains where they've even got unlimited whitetail tags where you get the entire month of December and you can get as many as you want to. You know, if you want to go out and get two or three of them, you're able to get two or three of those tags.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. And then some areas are draw only for whitetails. There are some areas where they've, for whatever reason, they've made it tougher and you actually have to draw those tags. I've never understood that, because the Colorado Parks and Wildlife model for whitetail has always been eradicate them, get them out of here. And then we go and take certain areas and make them a 4 or 5 point draw just to get a tag.
Well, because they're starting to realize that people are growing big whitetails in Colorado, and there's some of these ranchers out there selling these hunts out for, you know, $5,000-$6,000. So it's starting to become a moneymaker for them, and now it's not a problem anymore. You know, just like anything else.
Yeah, capitalism at its finest.
Yeah, just the good old green taking over. You know, it's a management problem until it starts making them money. So, yeah, like,
yeah,
this sounds like a little conspiracy theory, but there's been a lot of that. They had talks like in the Southeast of doing like these giant eradication programs for hogs. And then they went back and looked at how much money they make off of tag sales and how much revenue is generated from people to go hog hunting down there. And yeah, they're freaking killing the damn environment, but who cares? We're making money off of them, you know? It's like one of those situations. It's not quite that bad, obviously, with white-tailed deer, but because they're not really destructive to the habitat, but it's just, yeah.
Oh, no.
It's funny how much the almighty dollar dictates what we do in management programs. It's pretty funny. Well, I say funny, but I mean sad. Anyway.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, no, it is for sure. Let's talk a little bit about the over-the-counter elk opportunities at that time of year. And you can hunt. Well, shit. I mean, you could pretty much hunt elk in Colorado from August to what, January?
Yeah, January 31st.
Wow, so February.
That's when all seasons end in Colorado. So.
Okay.
So, as far as that, like if you're west of I-25, the only thing I've seen that you can hunt is cow elk until January 31st. But a lot of those tags are pretty easy to obtain, you know. So if somebody's needing a freezer filler, you can get one of those tags and then you can, you know, hunt for 5 months or whatever it is.
But
if you go east of
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I was going to ask you. So the last
bull, no, you're good.
The last bull elk hunt on the west side of I-25 is what, in December, right?
No, it'd be the fourth rifle season, which is usually right around the 15th of November, give or take, you know, 4 or 5 days. Once again, if you want to go ranching for wildlife, you can go that route as well if you're a non-resident. But, you know, once again, you've either got to pay the ranch or you got to pay the outfitter for the hunt. And like I said, they get free rein to do what they want, so they can still hunt bulls clear into January 31st on those ranches as well.
Okay. All right. So now, but east of I-25, you can hunt bull elk.
Now, east of I.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Now, east of I-25, you can hunt elk. And the cool thing, you can actually get that tag in addition to a mountain tag because it's considered a list B tag. Now, same thing, there's limited public land out on the plains and there's, you know, limited opportunity for guys. But the good thing is from what I've seen, the public land areas where there are elk out there, you know, the elk actually inhabit it. It's not like they just said, oh, here's some public land to go have fun, guys. You know, good luck if you see one. No, there are actually elk there. And a big one is the military installation down in the southeast part of the state. I think it's like 285,000 acres. Wow. And I mean, you have to go through like a class and everything to hunt there, but it does give you that opportunity to go hunt elk on basically the biggest portion of public land east of I-25.
Oh, that's cool. And that's any weapon, right? Hunt.
Any weapon. You can use a bow, muzzleloader, rifle, whatever you choose.
Bazooka. Cool.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about elk behavior that time of year. Like we're talking, you know, this December and January hunting elk. Let's talk about what they're doing and how they're doing it and having that knowledge. How is it going to help us? You know, what is something that we can count on that's going to help us score a bull for that time of year.
Well, one thing you can count on is at least they're going to be up and on their feet and moving. From my experience, I've seen them up and moving during that time, which helps a lot because, you know, you got vast areas out there that you've got to cover. And, you know, like take, for example, us and our outfitting business, we've got an operation out there where we've got elk on there, and it's 53,000 acres that we hunt out there.
Wow.
And when I say cover country, I mean cover country. I hate to use the term, we've got to hunt out of like pickup trucks and everything, but you know, those ranches are just so big and the area is so vast. We've got to cover as much area as we can, as fast as we can. And, you know, like I said, usually those elk are on their feet. So it helps us out as opposed to right after that rut, he knows those bulls go and lay up, they disappear, and it makes it tough to, you know, find a bull. I mean, he may only go 100 yards, you know, to water and feed and then back to his bed. And then the other nice thing too, December and January is, in my experience, what they're starting to do again is they're starting to bachelor up and they're getting into, you know, bachelor groups. So makes them pretty easy to find once again, you know, instead of trying to pick out one elk, you know, you're looking for four or five bulls in a group.
Okay. Cool. I mean, what can somebody expect on a hunt like that? Like, it's obviously you're in Colorado. It's going to be freaking cold as shit probably, but
yeah. It'll definitely be cold. I can promise. Snow out there, it's hard to say. There could be snow. There could not be. I would lean towards probably 80% of the time, you're not going to see any snow out there. Okay. But for that rare 20% chance, you could be out there on a hunt and have 2-3 feet dropped on you, and then you're like, crap.
Dang.
The conditions should be pretty fair. I mean, hell, if you were out here today and you were hunting, or not today, but yesterday, if you were hunting out there yesterday, it was 70 degrees out there.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, it has the potential to be some fair weather hunting as well.
Yeah, we got a warming trend, I think, for this whole year. The whole country right now. It's pretty crazy.
Yesterday here at my house it was 63 degrees, and today my thermometer is reading 29.3.
Awesome. Yeah, we dropped a little bit in temp too. We've been in like the 90s over here, which is crazy. I mean, Arizona was always warm, but or hot, not necessarily warm, but this time of year by now, it's usually, you know, we're low 70s, but not 89, 90 degrees. It's been unseasonably warm.
We're up here wrapped up in parkas and you guys are running around in shorts and t-shirts.
Yeah, pretty much. What's the habitat look like out there on the plains? I mean, when I say think plains, I think, you know, rolling grass and stuff, but is it like, you know, hunting in the JPs, is like juniper pinyons and cedars and stuff like that? Or is it kind of,
some places can be, those elk, they're kind of, I'm trying to think of the best way to describe them. They're kind of like a whitetail in a sense, and they'll follow the river bottoms, and they're kind of river bottom living animals. So you'll find them down in river bottoms, you know, get down into a little river bottom that's got cottonwoods and everything all over it, and then all of a sudden here's 20 head elk sitting in the cottonwoods. Down south, yeah, you're hunting in kind of the canyons and mesas is all that, but that country's composed of, and pinyons and cedars, junipers, all that. Some of the northern parts that have elk in the public land areas there are rolling grasslands, and then you'll come up over a hill, and you'll have just a tight pocket of like ponderosa pine trees, and you know, that may be their bedding area. And typically those elk, you know, usually if you get up in that northern part, those are the ones that really mess with people. And you know, you'll see elk sitting out in the middle of a cornfield, you know, in the middle of nowhere, and what the hell's going on here, you know?
That's crazy.
So yeah, it can vary quite a bit. I'd say down, you know, in that southern portion, that's going to be a little bit tougher because of those canyons and those mesas and the cedars and pinyons. It's a little harder to find them. Now up in the northern part, they're going to be easier to find, but as far as land you have to hunt, not so much.
Got it.
So it's kind of a trade-off.
So you talked a little bit about where they're at. What's the kind of habitat that you're looking for then when you're hunting out there? I mean, are you just looking for river bottoms and breaky stuff, or?
Usually water. Water is what I'm going to be looking for, because water is pretty scarce out in that part of the world. Your only water sources usually is a stock tank that, you know, maybe the military installation or whatever public land is always kept up for whoever has the grazing rights. They've got a stock tank there, or you get a river. And on the rare occasion, every now and then you will find a natural pond here and there. But like I said, I mean, the plains is pretty scarce for water. I'd say their average rainfall out there in a year is maybe only 14, 15 inches. So, you know, it's not a whole lot. You know, when you find that water, usually most of those water sources are there all year. And then, you know, you can hunt 2-3 miles in every direction from that water source, and that's probably where your animals are going to be. Now, like on a year like this year, yeah, you can forget about that. I mean, I know like the ranch we hunt out there, but they get like 38 inches of moisture this year. I mean, there was water and feed everywhere, and it was horrible. If they get a lot of water out there and it's a wet year, I'd plan on not hunting, because it just spreads them all to the wind, and it, you know, makes it way harder to hunt when there's a lot of water out there. I actually would rather hunt it in a drought.
Makes sense for sure. So that kind of brings me to my next question. So how do you like to hunt them? Is it like spot and stalk specifically, or are you kind of doing a combination of?
Yeah, well, like I said, how we do it, and I'm sure on like the public land area, you probably can't, I'm sure they don't allow you to drive a truck or an ATV or whatever to try and cover ground. But, you know, even still, even though we do, you know, we take our to the top of one of those mesas or a nice canyon rim where we can see 4, 5, 6 miles. And, you know, it's no different than like when you're hunting deer, you know, in that October time period. In October, when you're trying to hunt a mule deer, you're not going to be out stomping the hills and walking 15 miles a day. You know, you're going to get to a nice spot where you can glass a lot of country and use your eyes rather than your legs. And it's kind of the same point out there. You know, just glass as much as you can and look as far as you can. If you don't see nothing there, get a different view of things. Maybe a different view will help you out. You know, one of the elk we actually killed out there this year, I was sitting up on top of a canyon rim and I was glassing for probably an hour and a half. And all I did was come out off of that rim. I worked around to the next rim that was just, you know, maybe a little tiny spur canyon that was 100 yards wide or so. So I went around the other side of the rim, glassed down in the same exact spot, and like a spot I'd been looking at for over an hour. Here's a bull laid up right next to a big old rock, but okay. You know, I couldn't see him from my angle. So yeah, you know, it's taking your time. It's one of those things where you're going to have a lot of patience. If you don't have a lot of patience, then you're going to be kind of irritated, I guess, as a way you could put it, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. What would you suggest to a guy that's wanting to come out and try his hand at doing a little public land hunting for elk in that late season? What tips, what pointers could you give us to kind of like, I mean, elaborate on some of the stuff we already talked about basically, and maybe kind of give us a little bit more direction as to where to start and how to get into it?
Yeah, so like I said, the tag, it can be picked up over the counter. You can buy it anywhere in the state. I mean, if a gas station sells hunting licenses, you can get it there. It's not something you have to go to like a Division of Wildlife office for. And then the next thing is like that big area I'm talking about is it's called Pinyon Canyon. So just look up the Pinyon Canyon Maneuver site. I think they have a class that you have to take because technically it is a military installation. Even though that it's not active anymore and they don't use it, you still got to take a, I don't know, some sort of class that they have. But usually, you know, stuff like that is not bad at all. And actually, come to think about it, you'd have to look into this, but Fort Carson, they may even have some east of I-25 stuff as well. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure what kind of land Carson owns, but, you know, I know Fort Carson has elk on it, so they may even have some stuff I could look into as well. And then the other part is look into the state wildlife areas. That's the other part of public land that's out there is the Colorado Division of Wildlife. They went around and they bought some state wildlife areas, and most of those are open to public hunting as well. So just look into the various state wildlife areas, which ones, you know, and they'll tell you on their website if they have elk on it or not. Mm-hmm. You know, so mm-hmm. there's another resource a guy has for them.
Cool. Awesome, man.
Awesome.
Why don't you tell our listeners where they can find out about you and maybe come hunting with you on one of these hunts?
Yeah. So I'm actually in the process of building a new website right now. I'm hoping, cross my fingers, it'll be done before Christmas, but we'll see. But that the new website will be www.kbhunting.com. And so, like I said, hopefully that'll be done before Christmas. But right now, guys can go to kboutdoorsinc.com. They can search me on Facebook, KB Outdoors Inc. You can look me up on Instagram. I do all that social media. I don't do the Twitter so much because I don't really know how Twitter works. But
yeah, I don't think anybody really does.
I think just famous people use it. And I'm not famous enough for that. So so, I mean, guys can look me up. Those are probably the best ways to look us up. You know, Facebook and Instagram, everybody uses those. So those are my main go-to things now. That's where I, you know, we put up all kinds of pictures and stuff for people to look at. And then, you know, the website's always good too. But like I said, not a whole lot of people. It seems like the younger generation doesn't really look at websites. You know, an older generation is the ones that care about websites. So yeah, anyways, yeah. Those are the ways to get a hold of me.
Cool. Hey, real quick before I let you go, I want to hear about that giant buck you shot this month.
Yeah, man, that's been a long time coming. That's the first mule deer I've harvested. It's been 9 years. Partially, you know, one of the last – well, I got my big buck in 07. Then the very next year – I had another really big buck spotted that very next year. But so I got that buck spotted late one night, put him to bed, said, all right, he's going to be on this same ridge. Went back, and my dad actually was hunting with me at that time, but he was like, hey, I can't come hunting with you the next day. I got to go to work, so you're going to have to do it by yourself. No problem. So next day hit. At my house, we had like, I don't know, probably 10, 11 inches of snow. I drive out there to where I'm hunting. They had 3 feet dropped on them. And so, yeah, that kind of makes it a little tough when there's 3 feet of snow out there. And where I needed to get to was like 4.5 miles back in there. And so I found out before that I'd been watching and he was working some does. So I shot him and harvested him. And that was in 08. And I've gone without harvesting a deer since then. And this year, you know, I went on a hunt. I've been putting in for preference points since then. So I'm kind of in that preference point lingo game where, you know, you got to wait and wait and wait, and then you don't get to hunt at the same time. Well, I found a landowner tag that had come up, you know, pretty cheap. And so I bought that landowner tag this year and said, hell, I'm going out and hunting. I don't get to hunt for myself. I'm always guiding or helping out buddies. So I think I deserve to go once. And yeah, just I went out and got lucky and harvested a heck of a buck.
Yeah, what did he end up scoring?
I taped him out the other day, and he was 191 and an eighth.
Okay, sweet. He looks bigger. I mean, not that 191 is something to scoff at. That's a giant buck. But honestly, yeah. When you first texted me that picture, I thought, I thought in my head I said like 215. Like,
yeah, he definitely looks. He looks pretty. He, you know, he looks bigger. He's
cool, cool as shit too. He's got like a cool character.
Yeah. Yeah, like, well, he's got that one side. I don't know if you guys could see it, but like on his left side, he's got, it looks like a big eagle talon coming off there.
Mm-hmm.
And what that was, what it was, but I looked into it, and he got a bunch of blowflies down in there when he was in the velvet. You know, so it just pulled up with blood and created that goofy looking deer deal there. But I had a lot of guys that have been, you know, bugging the crap out of me. Oh man, that buck's over 200. He's over 200. And I wasn't going to score him for the longest time until my little brother one day, he was just dying to know what it was. And so I said, whatever, we'll put a tape on him. And yeah, he taped out right at 191 and an eighth.
Yeah. No, man, he's a hell of a buck. He's cool looking.
Yeah. I was going to say, that makes it my second biggest deer. But like my buddy said the other day, everything's always going to be your second biggest when you killed an 07.
I was going to say. Said,
well, yeah, I guess.
how do you beat 306 or whatever it was?
you got me. I have no idea.
you chop off elk antlers and stick it on the top of a mule deer and call it a muley. Yeah, I don't see you beating that one ever in your life. Sorry, buddy.
No, I'd have to go kill like a high fenced whitetail or something to beat it.
maybe even if that.
So, I don't know if that's worth spending.
No, hell no. Shit, they probably get like $30,000 for a deer like that.
Oh, that's easily.
That's ridiculous. Anyway. Well, cool, man. Thanks for coming on and enjoy your holidays. I'll talk to you soon. I actually want to pick your brain. I got a guy that's been wanting to go to Colorado, so I'm going to probably send him your way here.
Okay.
Yeah. So cool.
Cool, man. Cool. Well, right. I appreciate it. It's always fun coming on here and talking with you, and hopefully everybody gets to pull some knowledge from me. If anybody ever wants any more knowledge, though, you know, like I said, just get a hold of me and I'm always happy to help and, you know, give out what knowledge I have. There's not a whole lot of it, but there's enough of it, I think.
Nice. All right, man. Thanks a lot. Have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, man. You too.